criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police who investigate crime and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Cold, cold, cold. Gonna be slower than yesterday, if that's possible.
Might be a good idea to toss extra rap on old Henry. His age, he shouldn't be out.
Our age, neither should we.
She sees something in a nearby stall.
Oh, my God. What? Phil!
What?
Phil!
What?
What's the matter? Jerry Tortino!
Phil runs to the stall to look.
Oh, Lord. What a mess. Call 911.
The body lies face down in the hay.
Two in the back of the head, small cow, no exit. Point blank, set his stocking cap on fire. Rigger's 2/5. I figure he's been dead 3, maybe 4 hours.
Yeah, that was a smart move, Russell, getting the Discovery Channel.
Hey, you can learn a lot.
Everybody's a crime scene expert these days. You have anything on him?
The works, wallet, watch, money, a ring.
Jerry Tortino lived in the neighborhood.
Who called it in?
They move toward Phil and the woman.
Either of you know the victim?
Sure. Sure. Part-timer. Filled up with some of the regular drivers.
Gracie don't like most folks. Looks like she's taking a shine to you.
So much for horse sense.
You two always hear this early?
Come on about 5 every day. Truck the buggies.
Day shift don't start till 7.
What was Tortino doing here?
No reason in the world for him to be in this early.
Did you notice anything unusual this morning?
No. Quiet as an empty church.
Just the horses, waiting to be fed.
I don't suppose any of them were named Mr. Ed.
Briscoe and Green share a look. The New York City skyline is lit up at night. Police officers work the city streets. The word law moves in front of a squad car, and a man is led away in handcuffs. Detective Lenny Briscoe's tie is loosely knotted around his open shirt collar. Detective Eddie Green is neatly dressed, and Lieutenant Anita Van Buren is in her office. The word order appears in front of a courthouse, and a U.S. flag waves. Scenes from a courtroom are shown. Executive Assistant D.A. Jack McCoy is leaning on his desk. Assistant D.A. Serena Sutherland and D.A. Arthur Branch are in their offices. Law and order. The detectives and the assistant D.A.s walk down a hallway together.
He'd sub when he needed the cash. Truth be told, Jerry wasn't all that crazy about driving a buggy. He'd rather be watching him run than steering him around a park.
He played the horses?
Well, not him. His clients.
He was a bookie?
Yeah, back in the day, he was the go-to guy to go to in these parts. Biggest book on the west side.
So how'd he end up driving a carriage?
How do I put this? Jerry in the state of New York...
He did time.
And while he was gone, nature abhors a vacuum and like that.
Somebody took his book.
When was this?
10 years ago now, maybe more.
So how did he react to that, losing his turf?
He had a good run. He knew when to bow out gracefully. He still had some diehard clients who wouldn't give him up.
What about the other drivers? How did he get along with them?
There's always disputes. He was going at it with Albie Sullivan yesterday. Like an old married couple, those two.
Where do we find this Albie?
He's working. Central Park South, across from Essex House.
The man nods.
You hear about Jerry, right?
Hey, you two had a beef yesterday.
Say we did. So what? He was my best friend. We were like brothers. Brothers beef don't mean nothing.
Well, why don't you tell us about it anyway?
Sullivan starts brushing the horse's mane.
He poached some customers. I was sweet-talking these Canucks. He butts in, offers to let the kid ride up top. After I've been working on him for 20 minutes. I told him where he could get off. That was it.
Okay, how about you? Where were you last night?
Had a few beers after quitting time. Went home, went to bed. Got to work this morning. That's what I heard.
Anybody who can vouch for you?
Sullivan turns to Briscoe.
I live alone. How about you?
At the medical examiner's office.
Your cop at the scene wasn't that far off. Based on core temperature and rigor, I estimate time of death to be around midnight.
I don't suppose you got a couple of small caliber slugs floating around in there.
Here are 380s. Hallmark execution. First shot was close contact, second inches away. Both seared his scalp.
Damn, he was right about that, too.
No, we'll never hear the end of it.
Double tap, point blank to the back of the head.
380, nothing at the scene. Shooter must have picked up his brass.
This victim's a mobbed up ex-con.
This was a hit.
Has all the earmarks.
Yeah, speaking of marks. See that one? On his neck, behind the right ear.
Crescent moon, looks like a burn.
It's a brand.
Somebody branded him, like with a hot piece of metal?
Mm-hmm, post-mortem.
If he is a pro, maybe that's how he signs his work. Like a calling card or something.
Have a gun, we'll travel.
Apartment of Marie Tortino.
Change of address in the works?
My dad's idea. Me, I'm not eager to move. Lived here all my life, but we already signed the lease. What are you gonna do?
Why'd your dad want to move?
Opportunity of a lifetime. You met a broker, put a bug in his ear. Bigger place, better neighborhood, blah, blah, blah.
There were some cards in your dad's wallet. Real estate agents? Evans, Gramercy, Stillman.
Stillman, that's the guy. A real miracle worker, gotta say. Found us this big three-bedroom in the East 20s. Just a little more on the rent for twice the space.
And that's the only reason that your father wanted to move?
What do you mean?
Maybe he wanted to get out of Dodge, you know, leave the old neighborhood.
I know what you're getting at. Everybody in the neighborhood loved my pop. He was a fixture here.
Still, in your father's line of work, he had to have a few disgruntled customers.
More than a few, but that was the never-come-again good old days. Most of my dad's clients are dead or gone to Florida. Why do you think he was driving a buggy in Central Park?
We're checking open homicides to see if this crescent moon thing crops up.
His daughter's got a point. Who'd hire a hit for a part-time carriage driver?
Hey, I didn't section faxed over Tortino's rap sheet.
Yeah, his boss said he'd been away.
He didn't tell us he did two of a possible 10 at Austin.
For bookmaking?
Burglary, grand larceny one, possession of stolen goods, assault.
It's important to diversify.
2 years, that's hard time for a bookie.
On the other hand, 2 instead of 10, you might say he got off light.
Makes you wonder, doesn't it?
Gets better. He spent most of his stretch in protective custody.
It'll be interesting to find out why.
Ellie's Diner.
Terry was part of a crew knocked over a showroom in the 3rd District. Beat up a security guard. We caught him with a Cadillac full of mink. You cut a deal? He's gonna be a stand-up guy. Do the whole dime, tough it out. Then he found himself in Gen Pop at Sing Sing.
Changed his mind in a hurry.
Well, wouldn't you? No more showering with the fellas. And you shave 8 years off your sentence.
So who did he rat out?
Federico Righetti.
He's a crew boss for the Masucci family.
Jerry was Righetti's biggest book. 20 grand a day on the street. Doubled during football season. He got pinched. Put a real crimp in the Masucci family's income stream.
Did the Masuccis know you ratted them out?
They hadn't known. I don't think he would have lived nearly as long as he did.
Righetti pulled a psycho act at the trial, right?
Yeah. He was auditioning to go where they make you butter your toast with your finger instead of a knife. The jury didn't buy it. Why, you like him for Tortino?
Looks like a professional hit. Righetti's got the motive.
Would he still have the juice to order a hit from the inside?
Doesn't need to. He's on the street. Feds cut him loose 3 weeks ago.
He gets out. A week later, the guy that gave him up gets shot dead. You know where we can find Righetti?
I check his nephew Peter's social club on 10th Avenue. It's where the old man used to rule the roost.
Later, the detectives approach a group of men seated at a table in a restaurant.
Another tough day at the office, huh?
We're on an espresso break. Who are you? OC Task Force?
Homicide.
Homicide? You're in the wrong place, homicide. Steps around the corner at Rizzoni's funeral home.
This is why they call them wise guys. So, Peter, where's your uncle? I don't see him.
My uncle's not a well man. Maybe you've heard.
Yeah, what I heard is he might be going around town settling old scores.
And who would he want to settle a score with?
Jerry Tortino.
Oh, that homicide. Why didn't you say so? What I hear, Jerry got caught a little short Sunday when the Jets...
Against all expectations.
Covered the spread.
It's a miracle. Our Lady of the Meadowlands.
Freaking Jets. We all took a hosing on that one. No wonder Jerry couldn't cover his action. There you go. One of Jerry's clients clipped him. How are you? I'd be looking for a disgruntled Jets fan.
We hear that Jerry was more or less retired, like your uncle.
Yeah, and since your uncle's got so much time on his hands, we'd like to talk to him.
You want to search the joint? You got a warrant? Knock yourselves out. Otherwise, take it on the arches. Find another place to haunt.
Where do they get the lingo?
Detective Green smiles and they leave.
according to the feds, his nephew's been bossing the crew since the old man went away.
Well, after about 10 years, you might start thinking the job is yours.
So are you saying he might not be all that overjoyed to see his Uncle Fred?
There's something else you should know. The feds also told me they're running a task force. They've got someone deep inside with the Masuchis.
That takes stones.
It'd be nice if he could get us to the old man.
I don't know how easy it'll be to bring him up, but let me see what I can do.
She nods. Later, a man hurries up a set of stairs toward the detectives.
Briscoe. Green. Vinny. Sorry I'm late. I had to make sure I was clean when I left the club. So I took the scenic route down the west side via Weehawken.
That'll add an hour to your commute.
Hey, man, did you really lose a bundle on the Jets?
Man, I got killed. Don't tell the Bureau I bet the game.
Oh, don't worry. Your secret's safe with him.
How long you been under?
Nearly a year.
You seen the old man since he got out?
He's come around a few times.
You're still doing the Mad Hatter act?
He may not be crazy, but he's definitely one strange duck.
How are he and his nephew doing?
Circling each other like a couple of cats.
Really? How do you think that's going to pan out?
I wouldn't bet against the old man. He comes across as a sweet old geezer, but make no mistake, he's a stone killer. Dozens of bodies on his head.
You think he had Tortino hit?
About 6 months ago, the Masuchis found out it was Tortino who ratted him out. Peter wanted to deal with it himself, immediately. His uncle said, wait.
So he's trying to make a comeback, settling unfinished business.
Certainly helps his street cred, Tortino getting whacked.
We're going to need a sit-down with the sweet old geezer.
Mott Street. Across from Old St. Pat's, above the deli, third floor front.
Apartment of Federico Righetti.
Boy, living down here in this dump, you must think he's been exiled to Siberia.
Which stands to reason why he'd want his old job back.
A nurse answers the door.
Hi, we're here to see Federico Righetti.
He's in the bathroom, getting ready for his walk.
You mind if we come in?
Mr. Righetti doesn't like to be disturbed.
Any more than he is already?
Excuse me.
Sorry, thanks.
They enter the apartment.
Maybe we should wait for him to get out of the shower.
We should check to make sure he's still there and then go down the fire escape.
Holding his gun, Briscoe enters the bathroom, opens the shower curtain, and sees a fully clothed man under an umbrella in the shower.
We needed this. The reservoirs are down 40%.
It's right as rain to me.
Briscoe holsters his gun and Green looks at the nurse. Federico smiles and takes a deep breath as he sits under the umbrella.
You remember Jerry Tortino?
I prefer Rigatoni because of the name.
Tortino. He was your bookie back when you ran the crew. He gave you up to the feds. He put you in the penitentiary for the last 10 years.
I remember you. Huh? Do is straight. Beer chaser, that was your drink. Stayed with it, too, till your face hit the bar.
Yeah, I'm strictly club soda now. Straight up with the twist.
Jerry Tortino. Somebody shot him twice in the back of the head.
She had red hair, didn't she, your wife? Huh? That's right. Tall girl. Looked great in a tight skirt, not doing the hula. How's she been?
You'd have to ask her new husband.
I'd make Tortino my first stop if I were in your shoes.
Shoes? No, sandals. Sandals are easy on the feet. It's aromatic. Don't you think?
Yeah, and they go so nice with an orange jumpsuit.
Threatening a sick old man with jail time? Have you no shame?
Well, well. If it isn't that rarest of birds, the mob lawyer with a heart.
Word that the same could be said of you, detectives. Mr. Righetti undergoes dialysis 3 times a week. He finds these sessions extremely arduous. Afterwards, he has trouble holding a spoon, much less a gun.
He didn't have to. He could hire somebody to do it for him.
On the eve of Mr. Tortino's murder, Mr. Righetti's dialysis left him not only enervated, but gave him a low-grade infection, which he had treated that night at the clinic.
Like he said, we never claimed he did his own wet work.
Nevertheless, his whereabouts that evening have been accounted for. You had no reason to rouse him in the first place, and you've got no reason to question him further. Let's go, Federico.
I suppose you have witnesses.
As many as I need.
Federico waves goodbye to Detective Green, who smiles back, then looks at Briscoe. St. Bridget's Dialysis Center.
He was running a temp. I gave him aspirin and some antibiotics.
How did he seem?
Aside from the fever? Same as always. He's quite a character, Mr. Righetti.
Which is a polite way of saying he's nuttier than a fruitcake, huh?
Oh, no. Mr. Righetti's old, and sometimes his mind wanders, but he's not crazy. Not at all. lucid as you or I. Funny, too.
You two talk?
I consider him a friend. He even helped me find a bigger apartment.
How did he manage that?
Hooked me up with this genius real estate broker. Found me a two-bedroom, way below market rate, rent-stabilized, Lexington and East 26th Street, across from Curry in a hurry.
You got a name for this real estate genius?
Stillman, I think. I have his card here somewhere.
Yeah, you got a number?
Green is on his cell phone.
Okay, thanks. That's the same guy that got Tortino and his daughter their new apartment.
So this broker,
Kerry Stillman,
just happens to know Tortino and the guy who had him whacked? Small world.
Hey, man, that may mean nothing.
Or it does, and we just don't know what yet.
I have 20 minutes left of my lunch break. They're yours if you need them.
Yeah, Mr. Stillman, your name came up in the course of our investigation.
Oh, dear. What kind of investigation?
Homicide.
Homicide? Well, how on earth?
You got an apartment for Jerry Tortino and his daughter?
Yes, I did. Oh, of course. That's the murder you're investigating. I was so upset when I read about it in the paper. A lovely man. How can I help?
How do you know Federico Righetti?
I don't. Oh, wait. Peter Righetti looked at some co-ops that I had listed last month. Would he be related?
Federico's his uncle.
I don't think I met him. Peter Righetti was accompanied by a very striking young woman. I got the feeling not his wife.
How did you meet Jerry Tortino?
He was walking off the street. I found him a very good deal in the East 20s. Little India. Curry Hill. It's an up-and-coming neighborhood.
Outside.
So much for that lead. Peter Righetti gave Stillman's card to his uncle.
And he gave it to his nurse.
At least she got an apartment out of it.
Hey, man, if Righetti was dropping the crazy act with the nurse, maybe he was doing it other places, too.
You mean like on the phone? What we need is a friendly judge.
In a restaurant.
I thought he was still in stir.
No, he's out, Judge. Almost a month now.
Well, they must have kept it under wraps. I didn't hear about it.
You read about the West Side Stables murder? The victim helped the feds put together their racketeering case against Righetti.
And you think this is payback? No, the first time I had Righetti in my courtroom, he was just starting to road test that crazy Eddie routine. Showed up, dead of winter, in flip-flops and a Speedo.
Huh. Thanks for sharing.
I held him in contempt, and he says, "Kiss my ass, Judge." Now, I told him, "Motion denied." Bang. And sent him to the tombs to spend the night in that outfit. Last time he tried that stunt, at least with me.
So you're going to help us?
And I don't like being played by that old crook any more than you do. Just make sure there's something on that tape worth the listen.
The judge finishes his...
79th Street off the park. There's a lovely building.
Is it all like that?
Those are the highlights.
It's like watching cement harden.
He wants to be an uptown, down, the whole package, doorman and all.
Who can blame him for wanting an elevator? I mean, a third-floor walk-up at his age?
Upper East Side? It's a whole different kind of social club up there.
Wait a minute. East 79th Street? Someone from East 79th Street was killed last night, right around midnight in the park. Here, an attorney named Alec Ravello. Let me hear that again.
Any particular neighborhood in mind?
East 79th Street off the park. There's a lovely building. 71, I think it was. Caught my eye.
Let me look into it.
Something on a higher floor would be nice. Say the ninth floor. A nice one bedroom.
That would be the A-line.
That sounds about right. I would like to move as soon as possible. I don't want to wait.
I'll have an answer for you in a day or two.
He tells Stillman he likes the ninth floor. One bedroom, A-line.
If the victim lived in apartment 9A in this particular building...
71 East 79th Street.
Righetti wasn't talking to Stillman about an apartment.
He was ordering a hit.
Van Buren looks at the detectives.
9A, yeah, how'd you know?
Anything else about it strike you?
Same MO as yours, two to the head, 380, no witnesses, takes time to pick up his brass... There was one other thing. We kept it out of the papers.
What was that?
Weird. On the Vic's neck, right here.
Let me guess, a crescent moon branded into the skin?
Yeah,
Office of Executive Assistant DA Jack McCoy.
Come in. Hey, D.A. Sutherland, Lieutenant Van Buren. I'd like you to meet a friend of mine, Jean Picon, Assistant United States Attorney.
Serena shakes her hand.
How do you do?
Jean looks to Jack for a moment.
Alec Ravello was my husband. I'm so sorry. Thank you. I'm also the prosecutor who sent Federico Righetti to prison. That's why...
You don't kill an assistant U.S. attorney without the full weight of the federal government falling on you.
So they killed my husband instead. Both my husband's murder and the Torrentino murder were committed by the same individual.
We think Righetti's settling old scores in a bid to reclaim his crew.
Is this Stillman character the hitman or just the go-between?
We don't know that yet.
Doesn't matter. At the very least, he was involved in a conspiracy to commit murder for hire.
We'll pick him up.
What about Righetti?
Make the case against Stillman. He'll give us Righetti.
Jean nods.
He's the one I want, Jack.
Mr. Stillman!
Oh, I'd love to talk to you gentlemen further, but we have tickets for the Met this evening. We're running a little late.
Well, you're in luck. It's opera week at Rikers. They're doing an all-male version of Carmen.
Rikers? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the murders of Alec Ravello and Jerry Tortino. You're under arrest for conspiracy to commit them.
Commit murder? I'm a real estate broker.
Well, think of it as a career builder. Everybody in prison will be looking for a new place to live when they get out.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you in a court of law. You have the right to remain silent.
Docket number 27565, People v. Carrie Stillman. Two counts of conspiracy to commit murder in the first degree. Two counts of enterprise corruption.
You're first up in the batter's box, Mr. Stillman. One swing, make it count.
Not guilty, Your Honor.
People on bail, Miss Sutherland?
No bail, Your Honor. We're charging the defendant pursuant to the Organized Crime Control Act.
These are mob charges, Your Honor. My client sells real estate. He rents people apartments.
He also arranges to have them killed.
There is not one scintilla of evidence to support that allegation.
Obviously, the police felt otherwise, Mr. Margolis. Defendant is held without bail.
You're pulling at straws with this, Jack.
I'm looking at two cold-blooded for-hire murders, both linked to a ranking member of an organized crime family. Give me a straw that strong any day.
We have Federico Righetti and your client on a wire.
Talking about an apartment?
Talking about killing a man.
It's a matter of interpretation.
I agree. Let a jury decide.
Why take the chance you'll lead them down the garden path? Motion to exclude the wire. One less straw to pull on, Jack.
He can't challenge the tap. He lacks standing.
Let a judge decide.
Chambers of Judge Esther Morrow.
I would like to move as soon as possible. I don't want to wait.
I'll have an answer for you in a day or two.
Mr. Stillman wasn't a target of the wiretap. He therefore lacks standing.
To challenge the wire, I know. The point is, my client's done nothing wrong. He wasn't hatching a murder plot with a mafia chieftain. He was helping an old man find a bigger place to live.
What you heard on that tape, Your Honor, was a conspiracy to murder Alec Ravello.
Maybe Mr. McCoy's ears are sharper than mine. What I heard was a conspiracy to buy an apartment.
Did the police have prior knowledge Righetti and Stillman were going to meet?
No, Your Honor, but shortly after they spoke, Alec Ravello, the man who lived in the apartment they were discussing, was shot to death.
That's not a crime. That's a coincidence.
Some coincidence. Is it also a coincidence that the murdered man was the husband of the prosecutor who sent Mr. Righetti to prison?
She sent hundreds of people to prison. Any one of them could have done it.
This is all moot, Your Honor. He can't challenge the tape.
The tape should never have been authorized in the first place. As we were all well aware, Judge Stamos has a well-documented history of mutual antagonism with Mr. Righetti, and he should have recused himself.
Sorry, Mr. McCoy. Judge Stamos should have bowed out. You're going to have to prove your case the old-fashioned way. Wire's gone.
Without the wire, how can we prove Stillman's involvement?
You need to tie him directly to the murders, or the person he hired to commit them on Righetti's behalf.
You know, Briscoe and Green met with an undercover who's working on the inside with the Righetti crew. He might know something about Stillman.
Jack nods.
Contact our liaison at the U.S. Attorney's office. See if you can set up a meet.
Could be a weekend warrior. That's the profile.
Weekend warrior.
Used to be you wanted somebody clipped. There are 15, 20 guys you reach out to. Hard cases. You want it done right, at a good price, not find your ass in a slammer at the end of the day.
Stillman strikes me more as Casper Milquetoast than a cold-blooded killer.
It's a new breed of hitter out there. Doesn't need to make a killing to make a living, if you know what I mean.
Are you saying that Stillman is moonlighting as a murderer?
Exactly. Earn extra cash in your spare time. A week in Maui, a ring for the wife out of Tiffany's window. Kid needs a sports car for a sweet 16, whatever.
And then he goes back to his day job?
Who would ever suspect? Which makes him perfect for a guy like Rigetti who's all the time under the microscope.
So you think Stillman killed him?
Why farm it out and take the commission? You could do it yourself and pocket the whole enchilada.
Vinny and Serena sit in the park.
I hear some of these guys like to leave a mark of some kind. Signature. Shows who did the job, you know where to hire next time.
Both victims, crescent moon, side of the neck, behind the ear.
He's dropping a resume on top of the body.
We still have to connect Stillman to the marks.
Okay. If he is the hitter, how's he make that mark?
He brands them somehow.
And with what? Where's he keep it?
Well, we searched his house.
Safe deposit box?
We haven't found one yet.
How were you? I tried Stuyvesant Savings on Grand. The Masucci's are always bragging how they got their hooks in some vice president over there. Maybe they gave Stillman a place to stash his stuff.
I'm kind of excited. My first search warrant. I've always wondered what people really keep in their safe deposit boxes.
Well, you're about to find out. This one keeps cash. Plenty of it.
Lenny is wearing latex gloves as he goes through the box.
And ammunition for a 380 semi-automatic pistol.
Ammunition, my goodness.
Yeah, no gun to go with it.
I should hope not.
Yeah, that would have been too good to be true. Uh-oh, what have we here? You know what this is?
A money clip and a cigarette lighter.
Branding iron.
He lights the lighter and holds it near the molded metal money clip.
We now know you're the shooter, Mr. Stillman, not a mere go-between.
Really? How do you know that?
We found your safe deposit box, the lighter, the money clip, which matches the crescent moon marks on both victims perfectly.
Crescent moon, a common Art Deco design.
I don't suppose you found DNA from the victims on Mr. Stillman's money clip, or you would have mentioned it. Thought not.
He cleans his tools after he uses them. Commendable. What matters more is the cash, which far exceeds Mr. Stillman's legitimate income.
Mr. Stillman has a gambling problem, which accounts for both the cash and how he met Mr. Tortino and Peter and Federico Rigetti in the first place.
I'm not proud of it, but there it is.
Jack smiles.
I've explained to Mr. Stillman that evading taxes on illegitimate income is a serious offense, and we're prepared to negotiate in good faith with the IRS as soon as these ridiculous charges are dropped.
And how do you explain a box of 380 ammunition, the same caliber bullets used in both killings?
I like to shoot for recreation. It relaxes me.
Yeah, you can't tie that ammunition to a murder weapon. You don't have one.
Don't let your lawyer mislead you, Mr. Stillman. We're going to convict you.
I don't see how. I'm innocent.
Keep on thinking that, and while you're scratching the days off of a jailhouse calendar, waiting for your appeals process to be exhausted, the man who paid for these murders will be on the street, enjoying what's left of the rest of his life.
If you are referring to Mr. Rigetti, I wish him many more years of health and happiness. He's a nice man.
Off the record, and for my memoirs, what'd you have in mind?
Two counts of man one, to be served concurrently. If he gives us Mr. Rigetti.
Mr. Stillman looks at his attorney, who shrugs.
It's your decision, Gary.
Sorry, Mr. McCoy. I didn't do it. No sale.
See you at trial.
Jack smiles and shakes his head.
Mr. Ravello was murdered shortly after midnight. Passersby heard gunshots. Called 911.
Did you recover the bullets?
Ballistics determined they were fired from a .380 semi-automatic handgun.
The same kind of ammunition found in Mr. Stillman's safe deposit box. The same weapon used to kill Jerry Tortino.
Both victims were shot twice in the back of the head at close range, and both had crescent moons branded on their necks just behind the right ear.
And the size and shape of those marks?
Identical.
Jack looks at the jury, then sits down. Mr. Stillman's attorney stands.
The same type of gun was used in both murders?
Yes, sir.
Was the same gun used in both murders? The same individual weapon?
No. Ballistics determined the slugs came from two different weapons.
So, two different .380 caliber semi-automatic pistols used in the commission of two different crimes. Have the police recovered either of those weapons?
No, they haven't.
And the identical marks, can you say for an absolute certainty that both marks were inflicted by the same person using the same money clip?
They're identical. Stands to reason.
But you don't know that. You can't.
No, I guess not.
Two different murders, two different guns. Why not two different money clips?
Could have been.
Or something else entirely that might have left the same marks, and none of them necessarily Mr. Stillman's.
Objection.
Nothing further.
Jack retakes his seat.
The police found ammunition in your safe deposit box.
I like to target shoot. It relaxes me. Selling real estate in Manhattan can be very stressful. And we have a young child. It just seems safer to store the bullets there.
They found ammunition, but no gun.
Oh, I don't own a gun. I borrow one at the firing range. They're not supposed to, but I know the owner. He loans me his.
What about the stacks and stacks of cash?
I won it betting on sporting events. And I'm ashamed to say I was trying to avoid paying taxes on it. A serious lapse in judgment on my part, I know.
And the money clip and the cigarette lighter.
My dad's. The only things of his I have, so I like to keep them in the bank.
Mr. McCoy suggested you use these items to brand your victims.
Oh, that's just so... I don't know what that is. Outlandish?
You didn't brand Mr. Tortino and Mr. Ravel.
No, of course not.
After you shot them.
I didn't do either of those things. It's absurd.
Stillman's lawyer nods, then turns to the jury and takes his seat.
You just happen to know Mr. Tortino and Mr. Rigetti?
Yes, from playing the ponies and selling real estate.
You just happen to have $300,000 in cash and a box of .380 ammunition squirreled away under lock and key?
I've explained that.
Along with a money clip that matches exactly the marks on the two murder victims?
I now know it's not the rare antique I always thought it was. Still, it's awfully precious to me.
That is a remarkable string of coincidences.
Life, huh?
Jean stands and leaves the courtroom. Jack watches her go, then turns to Mr. Stillman.
I know I should have stayed for the whole thing, but I can't bear it. It's one thing to listen to them lie under oath as a prosecutor. Quite another is someone's widow.
Jean hands Jack a cup of coffee.
So, Jack, how do you think we're doing?
I can tie all the inferences and coincidences together and make them add up. But at the end of the day, we still don't have any eyewitnesses. No weapon, no hard evidence that ties Stillman directly to the murders. You saw him. He doesn't fit anyone's idea of what a hitman should be.
He's quite convincing as the clueless real estate broker.
I won't lie to you, Jean. I'm afraid the jury's buying his act.
And if you can't, don't. In Big Stillman?
Then he and Rigetti both walk.
Tears well up in Jean's eyes, and she looks away.
Alec was always worried about my safety all the time. The kind of people I convicted and sent to prison. The death threats.
She shakes her head.
He had nothing to do with any of that. He lived and worked in the civilized world. I can't stand it that they killed him to get to me.
She looks at Jack. Later, Jack and Serena are leaving a coffee shop.
How's Miss Pecan holding up?
She's afraid we're going to lose both of them.
Are you?
I think she has reason to be concerned.
Vinny called me.
Vinny who?
An undercover agent. He wants to see me.
What about?
Well, he wouldn't say on the phone. He wants to meet this morning.
So, go.
He hands her a coffee.
He's beginning to think you stood me up.
Sorry, always late these days. Occupational hazard.
He unfolds a piece of paper and hands it to her.
The pond near Central Park South. Southeast corner, there's a little inlet. Drag it, You find a gun, kill Jerry Tortino.
Are you serious?
Whether you can tie it to Stillman or not, that's a horse of a different color.
We have to. Where did you get this?
Vinny sits down next to her.
Off a wire.
Who?
Think about it.
Peter Rigetti? He talked about this on a wiretap.
That would be careless of him. These guys know the wire for sound. Social clubs, cell phones, they don't talk about nothing. They whisper in the streets.
Why would he talk about this if he knew he was being bugged?
Vinny gives her a smug smile. She nods and smiles back.
He wants us to nail Stillman.
Say he does. Say the cops find the gun. Stillman cuts a deal, gives you the old man.
He either cuts a deal of his own and cooperates.
Which means witness protection.
Or goes back to prison.
Either way.
Peter stays boss. Smart. Thanks.
For what? I didn't give you anything.
Later, in Rikers.
Found the gun used to kill Jerry Tortino. In a pond. In Central Park.
Congratulations. Now you can start searching for the real killer.
I'm looking at him. Ballistics matches the ammunition found in your safe deposit with the murder weapon.
How is that even possible?
Don't say anything. It's a bluff. You can't tie this gun or any other to that particular box of bullets.
Apparently, Mr. Stillman is a frugal fellow. The police found a couple of unused rounds that had been chambered in the gun he shot Tortino with and then put back into the box for use at another time. You see, Mr. Stillman, when you do that, when you chamber a bullet and then extract it again, you leave specific marks on the shell casing, just as if you'd fired it. Your mistake, Mr. Stillman. You threw away the gun, but you saved the bullets.
Mr. Stillman glances off.
I just can't waste anything, you know? Plastic utensils, paper cups, tinfoil, those crummy wooden chopsticks you get with takeout Chinese, I wash them, reuse them. Drives my wife crazy.
Carrie?
Mr. Stillman leans over the table toward Jack.
I still get man one.
Jack glances at Stillman's attorney. Later, in a park.
One of you plays winner. That'll be me. But you gotta be patient. This guy's a foxy little featherweight. He's light on his feet.
Federico Rigetti, you're under arrest for the murders of Jerry Tortino and Alec Ravello.
After we're done, those guys from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy are gonna want to have a serious sit-down with you.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can be used against you.
Any news?
Rigetti's in custody. Briscoe and Green picked him up a couple of hours ago.
Great. Stillman allocutes tomorrow as part of his plea.
Congratulations. It's fantastic, Jack. Sutherland. He's here. All right. Right away. Arthur would like to see us in his office.
Victory toast.
First of all, I want to say congratulations on closing the Ravello murder. Great work. Everyone in the U.S. Attorney's office is very proud of you.
That pleases me enormously. We still have one more step to take.
I understand Mr. Stillman will testify. Rigetti hired him to commit both murders. Stillman allocutes tomorrow. He can corroborate his story. There's no question he absolutely acted at the behest of Mr. Rigetti. Mm-hmm.
Miss Myers nods. Arthur looks at her solemnly.
Is there a problem?
Not a problem.
You can have them when we're done.
I'm sorry?
Isn't that why you're here, Ms. Myers? Rigetti's the centerpiece of some RICO indictment you're crafting against the Masucci family?
This is not about a turf war, Jack.
No?
We're not trying to poach your defendant, Mr. McCoy.
Fine, after the state of New York tries him on two counts of capital murder, he's all yours.
But we do need you to withdraw your offer to Mr. Stillman.
He can't allocute in open court.
Why the hell not? He's our whole case against Rigetti.
We're not ready to move on Mr. Rigetti just yet.
We are.
If we leave him on the street, we can use Rigetti to make half a dozen other cases, roll up the whole crew.
Have you told Jean Bacone what you're planning?
She'll understand.
Oh, will she? If she'd been killed instead of her husband, we wouldn't be having this conversation. You wouldn't dream of letting him go.
The greater good, Mr. McCoy.
And if he orders someone else killed, how many more murders are you willing to countenance in the name of the greater good? You've got your undercover. You don't need Rigetti.
Rigetti will be brought to justice, Jack. When the time's right.
The time is right now. We're committed. He's already been arrested.
We'll charge him tomorrow as soon as Stillman allocutes.
No, we won't. I want you to withdraw the offer to Stillman and release Rigetti. Today.
Arthur nods and Jack looks at him for a moment, then turns and leaves.
Would you ladies excuse me for a moment?
Miss Myers and Serena nod.
I'd advise you not to forget whose name's on the door.
How could you do that to me, Arthur? Sandbag me like that in front of the U.S. Attorney's office. How am I supposed to deal with them now?
I apologize for springing that on you, but this is not about you saving face or looking bad in front of an assistant United States attorney.
This is nonsense, Arthur. They don't need Rigetti. What the hell's going on here?
Exactly what you were told in there, nothing more, nothing less.
I don't believe that. Push comes to shove, the feds coroner Rigetti, they'll cut a deal with him. He'll give up his nephew and his crew, and they'll send the old man to Tucson to play shuffleboard in the sun, and you won't be able to do a damn thing about it.
Sometimes we make deals that leave a bad taste in everyone's mouth. You've done it yourself a million times, Jack. You spit it out and move on. Now, you're letting your friendship with this Gene Picon cloud your judgment. Now, what I want you to do, what I need you to do, is withdraw that plea agreement and let Rigetti go.
Arthur turns and goes back into his office. Later, with Stillman and his attorney.
You're withdrawing your offer? What the hell?
I'm not at liberty to discuss it.
You're just going to shine us on without an explanation?
I don't owe you an explanation, Mr. Stillman.
I think you do. You made some sort of arrangement involving Rigetti, didn't you? Traded up for a bigger fish?
You should have made your deal when you had the chance.
Come on, McCoy, that's not right. What can you do for us?
With the weapon, we've got you dead to rights on the Tortino murder. The money clip marks tie you to Ravello, too. Plead guilty to both now, and we'll drop the criminal enterprise charges and take the death penalty off the table.
Life in prison.
Mr. Stillman looks away.
Take it or leave it.
Jack stares at Stillman. Later, Jack is passing a desk officer on the way out.
Mr. McCoy, it's your office.
Jack takes the phone and looks at his watch before putting the receiver to his ear.
McCoy?
When?
He listens a moment more, then hangs up the phone. Later, Lenny and Eddie meet Jack and Serena at a police scene.
Detectives, counselor, sorry to drag you out so late.
Where did it happen?
Over here. Seems he was out taking his usual evening constitutional.
Passers-by heard gunshots.
Any witnesses?
All these people around? Of course.
The bodies of Rigetti and his nurse are on the sidewalk.
I could care less about these mob guys. It's the collateral damage that gets to me.
Later, Jack enters Arthur's office.
I heard.
The nurse, too. Collateral damage, the cops called.
We romanticize these people, make movies about them, and they're nothing but heartless scum.
You think they know? The feds? That Peter Rigetti was going to have his uncle killed?
They might have predicted. That's a long way from knowing.
What if they used us to put Rigetti back on the street? Once we arrested the old man and let him go again, Peter must have figured that his uncle had cut a deal and gave him up.
I think you're giving the feds way too much credit. They ain't that clever.
Still, lucky break for them. Now they roll up the whole crew, starting with Peter Rigetti for the murder of his uncle.
Good riddance.
Jack turns and leaves.